So I wanted to talk about the perception of those who are neurotypical, meaning those who don't have autism or ADHD or PTSD or any of those things, thinking that those who are autistic don't have empathy. And it's always struck me as the strangest thing because we are full of empathy. We are overflowing with empathy. We feel everything. And it makes sense that we have empathy, just simply because we are so sensitive to our surroundings. Obviously, the lights, the sounds, the perfumes and the dyes in laundry detergent, the perfumes and dyes in food even. If we can hear the lights, since we can hear the lights, and since we can hear everything and feel everything around us, then it makes sense that we would also be able to feel what the people around us are feeling as well. And that's why it was so baffling for me when neurotypicals assume that neurodivergent people don't have empathy, because they know that we can feel everything around us. I know that people have seen movies where autistic characters are wearing headphones or, avoiding touch and things like that because they're so sensitive to their surroundings. The reason I think that neurotypicals feel that neurodivergent people don't have empathy is because we show it in a way that is different in the way that they show it. So with the whole notion of, in psychology, that people treat other people the way that we like to be treated ourselves, kind of follows this train of thought. So with autistic people being very blunt with our language, not reading in between the lines, not taking on nuance and tone and those sort of things, all of the extra fluff that comes along with conversation, in the neurotypical world, we don't do that. We cut all of that out and we cut right to the chase. And we speak the truth as we see it, as I'm doing now. Not that it's the universal truth, but it is the truth as we see it. And if you're coming to us for comfort and for empathy, then we can only treat you in the way that we know how to treat ourselves and the way that we see the world. So for instance, if somebody were to come to me and tell me that their partner had an affair for maybe the third time, let's say, and they're upset and they're crying and whatnot, a non-autistic person would more than likely make sure to make eye contact because that shows that you're listening and you're focused. They would offer hugs and physical touch or affection, perhaps. They would offer social niceties such as, it'll be okay, I'm here for you, you can vent to me and I'll just listen, I'll help you feel better by telling you that it'll be okay, and things like that. So through the lens of autism, though, if somebody were to treat us that way, when we have an issue, that doesn't really solve anything because we're so close, we're so used to cutting straight to the facts of the situation as we see them instead of the emotions that surround them. That doesn't mean that we don't have emotions. We're full of emotions. It just means that we don't express them in the same way because how helpful can the emotions be in an emotional crisis for somebody else? For me to mix my own emotions in would just convolute and muddy the waters even more. So if I truly want to help and if I truly want to show my empathy for you, then I'm going to invest my energy and my efforts into cutting through all the fluff and telling you the truth as I see it so that you can stop pain and suffering that might be coming your way. I'm not going to say that it'll be okay when I don't know for sure if it will be okay. And that feels very much like a Band-Aid over a wound. And it feels very much like there's not a lot of effort put into that. So it's confusing to me from this side to understand why the majority of the world feels that it's empathy when somebody pats you on the back and says it'll be okay, and why they think that we don't have empathy because we don't do that. Well, we don't do that because it doesn't solve anything. And that's not very empathetic to tell somebody that it'll be okay when we're not sure if it will be. So that's kind of a pacifier. And if we really want to help, and because we are so consumed with empathy and with emotion, and we're so sensitive to our environment, then we're going to deliver the solution as we see it, regardless of what the kickback might be, which is often why we are considered rude. But we're just seeing the truth as we're saying the truth as we see it. So if somebody were to come to me and they're upset because their partner was unfaithful for, you know, a consecutive time, I would not pat that person on the back and say it will be okay, because that doesn't solve anything, and that's sending somebody right back into the battle that they just came out of. And what good is it for them to come to me, for me to just say it will be okay? So I'm going to say something along the lines of, maybe don't continue to be with that person if they consistently hurt you. And the bluntness of those statements is considered rude, and it's considered lacking empathy, but that is how we show our empathy, because that's how we would like to be treated in return. That's how we think. That's how we view the world. That's how we handle ourselves when we are emotionally upset. We take away the fluff, we take away all of the things that aren't helping and all of the things that are muddying the water, so that we can see the facts and solve it. And then once we solve the fact, we see the facts and we find the solution and we solve the problem, then it stands to reason that the emotions that were attached to that problem also dissipate along with the problem. But if you attack it through the emotions of just settling your emotions down with a Band-Aid of it'll be okay, that doesn't really solve anything. It just pacifies it, shoves it down, suppresses it, represses it, regresses it, all of the coping mechanisms. And that's not helpful. So we have so much empathy that we are flooded with it often. And for some, it may be difficult to categorize how much we feel, because we feel everything around us, the lights, the electricity, the energy, the sounds, the people. That's how empathic we are. That's how full of empathy we are, is that we feel everything. So we feel neurotypicals as well. We feel other people as well. We just express it in a different way. And it's interesting to see a lot of the people that surround those who are neurodivergent, and how they often, because we show empathy in a different way, especially the experts who are not actually autistic themselves, their perspective is already sort of skewed as they're looking at us to figure out. They're not trying to figure out what's different. They're trying to figure out what's wrong and how we can be more like them. And I understand in a society where 1 in 59 are diagnosed as autistic, that 58 of the people are the majority, and that the society caters around the majority. And if anybody should conform to one side or the other, it should be the minority in this aspect of brain functioning. But instead of asking one group to conform to another or be more like another, as far as offering autistic students social skills classes, instead of offering neurotypical students isolation skills classes, I mean, it can go both ways. So I understand, especially as a special ed teacher, the instinct to help the one in 59 be more like the other 58 so that they can go along to get along in the neurotypical world. However, it does such an injustice to the person who is neurodivergent when they are being shown by the experts and the teachers and even parents and society at large that there is something that is within us that we have to suppress or change in order to get along with other people. When if both sides just accepted each side as different instead of wrong or broken, and then looked at things such as, do neurodivergent people have empathy, and look at it through that lens, it would be much easier to see that somebody with autism very well does have empathy. They just show it in a different way instead of not being able to see the resemblance and then casting autistic people off as not having empathy at all, instead of just asking us and taking our word for it. So the whole empathy thing, I do tell my friends that if you don't want the absolute blunt truth as I see it, then don't ask me. If you want somebody patting you on the back, then you should know not to ask me, because I can do that. I can mask and make myself do that and try to appear neurotypical and try to show empathy in a way that the person coming to me can feel it, but it would be inauthentic. And then that's where the social awkwardness comes in. That's where anxiety is felt, because the autistic person is then trying to act non-autistic, which means they're not acting authentic. And they're going through all of the social cues, like, what am I supposed to say? What should I say? What do they want to hear? And all of that is inauthentic. And it makes us feel like an inauthentic fraud when we're trying to pretend to be neurotypical with the neurotypical people around us. And then it becomes social awkwardness. So as far as the eye contact and the physical touch and all of those things, when somebody comes to us when they're feeling sad, we don't make eye contact, because since we can feel everything around us, and since the eyes are the soul of the individual, and you feel so much emotion and you can understand what a person is feeling or experiencing even more when you look in their eyes, we don't look in your eyes because we want to give you the respect of focusing on what you're saying instead. If we look into your eyes, then all of a sudden we are flooded with even more of your feelings, your emotions, your anxieties, your fears, in addition to everything that we're feeling in our environment, in addition to the things that you're trying to say to us. And we can't focus on the things that are being said if we look into your eyes, because we are distracted by everything that you're feeling, because we can see it, in addition to feeling it, in addition to hearing it as you're speaking it. So we don't look into your eyes as a sign of respect. But in the neurotypical world, that's taken as disrespect and not focused. And the physical touch is the same thing. We are so turned on and connected to everything in our environment as far as being sensitive. So to touch you is the same thing as looking into your eyes. We feel even more. And we want to be our best self for you in that situation because we have empathy. So self-regulation as far as not making eye contact, not making physical touch, in order to be there for you, is how we show empathy, but it's seen as a complete lack of empathy due to just a misunderstanding and to a difference. So that's my spiel on autism and empathy. And the opposite side of that, the equal and opposite reaction of that, is that if I don't have empathy for you, then I won't put any effort into helping you. And then in those situations, I will make eye contact and I will pat you on the back and say, it'll be okay, because that's what you're supposed to say. So it's completely backwards. It's completely different in the neurodivergent world as it is in the neurotypical world. And not that one is right and one is wrong. They're just different.